All right, everybody, what's going on? My name is Rich Stambolian, and this is Behind the Counter. With me, as always, is the divine to my John Waters, Jonathan Adler.
I don't eat poop.
No.
Do not eat poop.
Yep. I kind of wanted you to do a spit take with that. I was like, oh, he's going to love this one.
Nah, I'd ruin my computer.
It's better than...
I'm covered in electronics right now.
It's better than the skin sucker from the last episode.
yeah, okay. I'll give you that one. Skin sucker's pretty good. I think skin sucker had a good backstory.
Is it German?
It's German.
You make anybody German, and it'll be
was
right.
He a like a World War II German or like a current day German?
No, I mean he's a multi generation
like, German.
It started in World War II when the Leech Shards.
Oh, he can't die.
No, he's like the third generation skin sucker.
Oh, skin sucker.
It's like the Von Erichs.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's like the Tiger Mask. He just constantly gets replaced.
But they all just die in prison.
So what's up, man?
Hold
on, a lot of cool stuff going on this week, right?
Is there?
Yeah. Avengers trailer.
That's it.
We're going to...
Then comics.
We got any news?
Avengers trailer came out.
It's pretty cool. It was leaked. It got taken offline, and now it's just online.
Yeah. Yesterday, I think I saw it on Vulture. Mm-hmm. And by the time I clicked on it, it was gone. I was like, oh, my God. So I did the mass scramble.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, I found it on Dailymotion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good for you, Dailymotion, keeping those bootleg videos.
It was probably alive. On Newsfilter also.
Sure. and then I saw it today, because that's the right thing to do. Like, when it's out there, it's out there. Somehow, going to find it, and it's probably going to be a shitty copy.
Mm-hmm.
Put that 1080p one out there and make it happen for real. You have to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I watched the trailer like four times today, and it's incredible, man. And it's unfortunate that we can't show it, but that doesn't mean we can't walk anybody through it. Frame one.
I think I just looked at a frame by frame
analysis
of it
for the Easter eggs.
And just for like, oh, what's this supposed to mean and what's that supposed to mean? This is implying like I don't know who that one guy is.
Quicksilver.
No. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Yeah, but like they have like one shot of like a dude with like a flat top just turning his head.
Hammerhead. Well, I mean, this is Avengers 2 Age of Ultron, which is kind of interesting how this is the story that they're going with, because it hasn't really been led up to unless it also has something to do with the sentience of one of Tony Stark's Iron Man suits gets from like the cube or something, or Jarvis splits into a good version and a bad version, because apparently the Vision is supposed to be in this movie as well.
Confirmed.
Ultron done by James Spader. Very much looking forward to. Did you notice how it was the Pinocchio music during the trailer?
Was it?
Yeah, it's Pinocchio music, and it culminated in, from also Pinocchio, it culminated in Ultron saying, I don't have any strings.
Yeah. The whole puppet is the whole theme of the story.
It's slowed down Pinocchio music, which is pretty, pretty excellent, man. When he gets put in the, like the puppet marionette show, Pinocchio.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fascinating stuff.
Hulkbuster.
Hulkbuster. You get Hulk in the woods with no Wolverine.
And
they made him look like classic Kirby Hulk also, I think.
I think he looks the same as before. I think they did a good job the last time.
I think he's got more of a flatter, rounder head.
Yeah, that's regular. I mean, it's a little bit more defined. Mm-hmm. I think the brow is a little bit more pronounced.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. They give him like a little bit more of the Maddie head.
I think we're going to get a lot of Black Widow in this.
Yes.
Because I was talking about it with Bobby, and he said that... supposed to be that he's like, oh, like they show that like the castle, and they show like, you know, these missiles and stuff coming, like anti-aircraft stuff. Like, oh, is that Latveria? I'm like, no, impossible. They can't do Latveria.
They can't do Doom, huh?
They can't do any of that stuff. So I'm like, they're probably gonna go into like a lot of her background, her spy background, so they can lead up to like whatever Winter Soldier stuff they're gonna be having eventually. The guy was just saying, like, they said that has like a weird beard that's turning his head. He has like a flat top. It's supposed to be Claw.
Okay.
Claw. Our favorite.
Cool. Is Crossbones in this one? Or are they saving him for Cap 3?
I don't know. I feel kind of like these things are so isolated. Like, these are the beginning chapters.
Because
as opposed to like the end result, I think this is the beginning of whatever other junk they're going into with like the Captain America's, the Iron Man stories or whatever. Because like Iron Man dealt with the idea of like PTSD from fighting giant space snakes.
Right, yeah.
Guy Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is whatever the ramifications of this. I think probably more than likely going to break up the team.
Okay. All right. It looks awesome.
Because we're leading up to a Civil War, apparently.
Yeah, which is kind of, that's supposed to be Captain America 3, right? Not Avengers 3.
Yeah, not Avengers 3.
Yeah.
How are they going to do Civil War?
Easy peasy.
Yeah, super easy.
Lemon squeezy.
The only thing which as a fan kind of drives you nuts is that like one of the main focal points of Civil War was the fact that Peter Parker started working for Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was him revealing his identity to the public, saying like, I'm Spider-Man, I'm also Peter Parker, I've been Peter Parker my whole life.
But who are they going to have in Civil War? Can they do, I mean, Avengers could do a crossover with Spider-Man?
No.
So how?
Well, they said, that's the thing is that there's rumors that they're striking a deal together. Sony may lease Spider-Man for something of like, you know, an Avengers movie, or which would be fantastic.
Makes so much sense too,
and because it'd be them combining against the monster that Fox is creating, mm. on their side.
it's so crazy,
so weird. But I think that even without Spider-Man, I think the storyline could work. I think that with the characters that you have in play in the Avengers universe and the Marvel universe as a whole, I think you can do enough to kind of do this because they can do the initiative storyline yes. after this. And say, like, oh, you know, Tony starts, you know, taking all the superheroes and putting them on his side, and the government starts getting involved and all this. Because it's all leading up to Captain America's death. I think he's done with the franchise.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's interesting, man, because, like, what's he going to do after this?
He said he wants to direct.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I like Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Did you see Snowpiercer yet?
No.
Awesome.
Yeah?
Awesome.
Okay.
He was fantastic in that movie.
As a fan, this is... like really amazing
well,
stuff.
Well, don't respond as a fan.
I will respond as a fan because one, like just the notion of the projection of my future feelings if Spider-Man shows up in an Avengers flick because they're so well made. Like when you were a kid, it was kind of like what was hammered into you as a fan when you were younger is these movies will never get made because you had rubber-eared Captain America, you had the Spider-Man TV show, you had Roger Corman Fantastic Four. It's impossible to make a good superhero movie. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have the first X-Men and the first Spider-Man movies, which don't really hold up 10 years down the line.
Which ones?
The first X-Men movie.
Yeah.
And the first Spider-Man flick.
Yeah, not at all.
Which really actually don't hold up, and I thought those movies would hold up. X-Men 2 held up fairly well. But...
it's because there's so much action in it.
Avengers will hold up at least for another few more years. The Cat movies, the Thor movies.
After the day I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, the girlfriend hadn't seen Avengers. At all before that.
Okay.
So I showed her Avengers same time, and side by side, Avengers was like a piece of shit.
Really?
Piece of shit.
Okay. I still haven't seen Guardians.
Because Guardians is like the same thing that, the same feeling, like as excited I am about Avengers.
Yeah.
Seeing the Avengers 2 trailer, when I first started watching, I thought it was fake because I thought it was just all the same scenes being recycled, aside from the robot, like Ultron stuff. I think the aesthetic is so uniform for Josh Whedon stuff. And the Guardians of the Galaxy was such an evolution of what you can do with a comic book storyline, where you can bring it to like just how Spider-Man and X-Men worked for that time, and that this is a great way for you to kind of like, you know, lubricate the whole for regular fans who enjoy comic books. This was like Avengers was the crowning achievement, where it's like, oh wow, this is where it is, and Guardians being the next step in the right place of like, now we don't even have to dumb them down at all. You can now make a super smarty. Right. Superhero story.
In the vein of Iron Man, almost.
Yeah, but even further than that. Mm. See Guardians. Is it on a DVD yet?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think so, actually. I don't keep up with the times. I don't go to the movies.
No, man.
I don't even turn my TV on when I watch it.
I'm seeing Birdman next week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's
I just
cool,
saw the X-Men movie.
Yeah? Did you enjoy it?
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I thought it was really good.
Still haven't seen it.
You still haven't seen it? It's very good. Terrible. I got it on iTunes.
Why don't you take a break from the 13 hours of Green Arrow you're watching every day and watch.
Hey, man, I love me some Arrow.
Some X-Men. I think you should have a crush on ML.
I have a crush on him.
You have an Irish crush on him. Yeah, man, see these movies. Incredible.
I know, it's crazy, man. Like, incredible. I can't, like, the one movie theater I want to go to, I also can't justify spending, like, $40 to see for two people plus whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like.
I do it all the time. It's a night. It's a thing to do.
I know, but I can't justify that. It's just in my head. I'm like, you know what? It's awesome and it's great. It's an experience, but it's also like, you know what? I could do with this $50. I could do this. I can do X, that, and the other thing. You know, and get more enjoyment out of it than
I love the movies. Know. Nothing is ever gonna, like, even the price factor is never gonna stop.
See, that's I used to be like that, but like my I have not been soured with bad movie going experiences. I love going to the movies, but I'm just like, you know what? At this point, I got a big TV at home. You know,
I'd much rather do that too. I mean, I have much more freedom and anything like that. But I get super excited for movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, it's $30. It's less than what I'd spend for dinner. It's less than what I'd spend for a night out drinking.
Yeah.
It's not where I'm like, oh, my God, my budget is being hurt by the time of me going twice to the movies through the course of a month.
See, I'm a little bit different where I always tell them going to the movies is a treat. So if I'm going with my wife, I'd like to, like, you know, do, like, the lead up or, like, the cool down of, like, let's go to the movies and then, you know, get a bite to eat or get, like, a drink or, like, have a drink beforehand.
And that's your problem. That has nothing to do with your movie experience. I think you're just making it more expensive than it needs to be.
Oh, no. It's the experience of, like, a nice night.
Go home. Go to the movies and then go home and make a really awesome dinner for each other and still keep that romance going.
No.
You don't need to go to Hooters before or after.
I think they close the, close it, right?
No, it's still locked.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they closed it, man.
I was there last week.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't believe that place is still open.
Yeah, it closed and it reopened.
For those people that don't know, like, all right, like, this doesn't have the impact that it did when we were, like, 10 years old, but they opened up a Hooters next to, like, this awesome movie theater by us, and it is, like, one of the worst restaurants on earth.
Hooters?
Yeah.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Doing great. Great business.
Of course. It's a gimmick.
Yeah, well, it's beer. Like, the thing that...
Not even good beer.
People, like, families go there just for the fact that it's a sports bar. Like, you get all the games there on the weekends, so, like... If you're waiting for a movie, it's a Saturday or Sunday, and a game is on, just pop in there.
Yeah.
Some wings,
have a couple of beers.
Hooters is not the worst place on earth. There's a lot worse that we have in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
The thing about the Hooters was the worst is that they were closed because of racial slurs from one of the waitresses.
That's right.
They were closed because of that?
Yeah. They just couldn't do it anymore. So they fired everyone from the ground up. I mean, the chain still exists. New management, new waitress staff.
For the store, for that
particular place, yeah.
I didn't know that.
It didn't close the Hooters chain. That was the one that...
No, that's weird that they would close
For calling a Korean woman, a fat Korean woman.
Really?
On the receipt.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't... They didn't use the word Korean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why would close the entire... Mm-hmm. Why not just fire her?
The whole thing came under scrutiny.
Yeah.
I think for whatever reason, Hooters probably said, now it's time to restructure. We don't need this type of shit. We're skirting the line as it is, and we're now having post-feminism lifestyle, and we have women that are half naked, serving beers. It's like, let's dodge out of this one for a little while. Close for a few months. We can afford it. Come on back to it.
Right. Yeah.
They do fantastic.
Yeah. That place has been open. I'm shocked. I don't really drive by there. Mm. But it's really nuts how, like, that place opened maybe like 6 years ago. Yeah. I want to say. And it's still, like, pumping.
Yeah.
So it's doing good enough.
Plus, if you, I don't think it's that bad of a theater. Douglaston, they have Wacky Wednesday. It's $5 for a movie.
Yeah. Once you go to that Fresh Meadows Theater, man.
I don't care.
It's that comfort is beautiful.
It's good. It's really good. I'd much rather have that type of theater than anything. But, like, if there's a movie out, if there's a Guardians of the Galaxy out, or, like, I saw Gone Girl a couple of weeks ago.
How was that?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
How's Affleck?
He's great. Still, you watch the whole movie thinking, like, I can't believe this guy's gonna be Batman.
And then at the end, does he put on the Batman mask?
He's fat. He's like chubby. He's like chubby fat. In the movie.
Okay.
He's bulking up during that movie. He looks like us. Like, he has the body type of, like, us in the film. But, like, if there's a big movie out there, like Birdman's gonna be opening up at Lefferts. That's where we get all the independent stuff.
Yeah.
That's like $11, I think, and I'd go out of my way to go see that because it's an awesome movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some stuff I just want to see in the movie. I love the movie experience.
Yeah.
Love it.
I'm pretty excited for Birdman.
Schwartzort, he said it was incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
That came out last week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Back to Avengers. It's strange. How did the whole thing resolve with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver? Because they're not being called mutants in the Avengers.
Inhumans.
They're being called Inhumans, and also they can't possibly be... I think you're going to get the nod to Magneto.
Yes. Well, it's also indicative of whatever they're going to be doing with Inhumans and Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Right.
Because since we're trying to get away from them being mutants. I think they said they probably will not address the Magneto, but I think you're right. I think you probably will get the moment where it's like, oh, our father's a dick, or something like that, or something.
Yeah, because, like, they're
at the end of Captain America.
That's
the end of the movie.
Yeah, like the twins, like, oh, like, we didn't tell them about the twins or whatever.
Yeah.
And one's running around really fast in his room.
Yeah.
But how far does creative license stretch as far as, like, you know what, we're going to use Quicksilver, we're going to use Scarlet Witch, they were part of, like, the ultimate storyline, they're not mutants, they're Inhumans, into what's happening now in the comic book world where the X-Men, and after reading that last issue of Axis, which was, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic top to bottom, where you kind of have the end of that Avengers X-Men Unity era and the X-Men saying, like, listen, like, we were wrong to trust you guys. We're going back to, like, our little X-Men hole.
Well, it just happened with Havoc at that point. Mm. Well, we know the whole team is going to get restructured. Like, no one on the team now is going to be on the team when it gets relaunched.
Right, but...
this is the culmination of that Remender Unity storyline.
But, the point I wanted to make was, like, you have that in the book, which is supposed to reflect the Marvel movie universe, right? Where Marvel's scaling back on, like, the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, Wolverine, et cetera, except for Spider-Man, you know, because, like, they might have that deal in place, right? You never know. There's a lot of fan speculation. But who's to say that they can't introduce, like, somebody who you know is somebody, like, a character that's a mutant character, you know? Like, I think that's, like, the ambiguous thing, like, because it's New Line that owns the X-Men stuff, right?
Fox.
So Fox owns the X-Men stuff. Like, what do they say? Like, I need... Chamber, I need Wolverine, I need all the X-Men, any X-Men mutant, anybody who's a mutant is on this side of the table.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's why, I mean, as I said, I've been getting a lot of promotional stuff from Marvel about all these things they're doing, these new number ones that they're doing during the summertime, like Civil War, Planet Hulk, all these old crossovers, these old blockbusters coming back. And I think that's someone brought up that it's possibly because they are have to use those properties so they don't lapse, so they can be used by Fox.
Okay.
So let's say they want to do the Fantastic Four franchise and X-Men meet, and they're going to call it Secret Wars. That's why you can't do it. We have it under the I'm not a legal guy.
Right. Okay.
But that's one of the reasons why they're saying they may be doing it. With the mutant stuff. If you notice, and even it is a trend that Marvel does usually, that they have great difficulty of creating new mutant characters.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen a new mutant character aside from the new guy in the Xavier storyline, this Malloy guy. Not many new mutant characters, but we have had a spurge of people being revealed that they're inhumans. Like Ms. Marvel, the new girl.
Yeah.
She's inhuman.
Right. Because that's the repercussions of, like, the mist being...
The gas. Like,
whatever, yeah.
And they did it in a really smart way. I didn't even pick up from day one that it was supposed to be the detergent mist. I have a feeling the Scarlet Witch Quicksilver stuff that's happening now is going to lead up to them saying that maybe Magneto wasn't their father.
Okay.
And maybe just have Polaris go with him or whatever and just say, like, oh, you know, they're 100% Black Bolt's kids or something like that.
See, that would be cool. Like, if it was, like, a good, impactful reveal like that where, you know, like, they're talking, let's say, even in the Avengers movie, they're talking about their dad, and, like, he's a tyrant, he's this and he's that, and your reveal is that it's friggin' Black Bolt.
Yeah. I think also that the reason why they're getting away with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver is because they were part of the Avengers franchise for so long.
And the Ultimates franchise, too,
which is kind of what it's based on.
Yeah.
So they're able to play with that. But from what I understand is, like, Silver Surfer, Galactus, Fantastic Four, Doom stuff are all going to be tied into that thing. If you're part of the Fantastic Four universe and your first appearance was in Fantastic Four, you're off the table. If you're an X-Men, if you're an X-Men creature, you're an X-Men dude, you're a mutant, you are on that side of the table unless, for whatever reason, like, you can maybe use Beast because Beast was... an Avenger and still is an Avenger.
See, that's interesting because then, like...
Why would you even bother at that point?
Right, I mean, like, because if you're going that far into the source material, like, who's to say, like, you know what, like, I'm making, like, let's say Marvel optioned Iron Fist, right, for Netflix?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's to say, like, you can't introduce Sabretooth in it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is, like, Sabretooth is going to come into major prominence now because he's rumored to be the new Wolverine.
Right, so weird. It's so weird. Like, it makes me kind of want to, like, you know what I'd use a time machine for? To travel to the future to go to a comic book store and see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Not to see who's president in 10 years, not to see, like...
I would go back in time and say, you know what, dudes? The best thing you can do right now is not sell your rights to Fox.
Yeah.
Hold off on these for a little while.
That's honestly the one thing as far as, like, DC movies go, besides the Batman flicks and the Superman flick that are amazing, they kept everything like Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, everything is Warner. Anything you see DC is Warner Brothers. Well, even the shit on TV.
But that's because it's the company Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, Marvel, the reason why this all happened is because they were broke and didn't have a parent company to help them. Mm-hmm. Like, now that if under the Disney banner, Disney Marvel, if they were approached and said, okay, we're going to buy Fantastic Four and Silver Surfer and the X-Men, it would never happen. It would never fly.
Yeah.
They would have to maintain the same universe.
See, that's a thing where, like, because you have the Disney money, who's to say, like, Disney won't turn around and say, you know what, like, we have an idea for, like, we're planning out our movies until 2050, right? And we want Spider-Man, we want Fantastic Four, and we want all the X-Men movies. Why? Because in 2040, we're going to make Silver Surfer show up in a friggin' Star Wars movie. Mm. You know, and just, like, to have that kind of, like, universal jam that everybody's been, like, this will make all the money in the friggin' world.
Anyways, did you see that Star Wars stuff I sent you? The spoiler stuff?
Oh, man, that was phenomenal.
Yeah. I'm super, super, super pumped.
I saw it. I had to leave. So, like, I looked at it for, like, maybe 20 minutes and was like, oh, this is amazing. I got to talk to Jonathan about this. Loved it.
There's, like, because there's a, like, if people don't know, there's, like, a bunch of Star Wars stuff has been leaking, probably intentionally, I think. Because that always drums up the hype. Like, I don't think anything leaks unintentionally anymore.
Yeah.
But they showed some cool shit. It was all just concept design. So a lot of it was there's a guy who looks like a melted up Vader.
Yeah.
Kind of like wooing a lot of different people. You get these chrome stormtroopers look awesome. They had like a chrome stormtrooper and a cape.
Yep.
There's a lot like a lot of just really dope designs while still keeping with the aesthetics of old school Star Wars.
See, but that's like the thing where like I as much as I love that, I feel like at this point it's like looking at like the Ralph McQuarrie stuff that happened before
and may never happen.
Right, where you're just like, "Oh, this is what they're going to look like. Awesome." And then you get the final product and you're like, "Wow, this is what they look like. Awesome."
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think you have to accept that when it comes to concept art. But I think they're kind of going to be uniform. Yeah. I think that the one thing they realized about the old prequels was that it was not Star Wars. There was nothing aside from lightsabers and names. There was nothing Star Wars about it. Like Empire, like the feeling of Empire, the feeling of the Empire, the look of things, the Britishness of everything.
Yeah.
The puppetry, like all that stuff is going to be back in the new ones.
You know what? I feel like it's going to, you know what? I'm not going to say that. I think it's going to be like a mashup of your effects from the prequels, which were awesome, and then your old school kind of aesthetic from the originals.
I don't think so. Because they said they made a point to try and scale back in the CGI for this. Like, they built all their sets. They built the freaking Millennium Falcon. They built all the planes. When was the last time you saw spaceships that were built?
It's true, yeah.
Like, I think they know, like, if you...
Just throw that money at it, man.
Yeah, I think and it's Disney money. Like, they know that they're going to make $1 billion off of the Star Wars movies.
That, I think, honestly, when that first movie drops, biggest opening of all time.
Yeah, dude, Star Wars. Like, even when the prequels came back, that was they were still making money even though they sucked.
Yeah.
Like, and they still make money. They still are producing.
Ton of money, man.
They're still producing material, stuff being developed from the prequels.
Yeah.
Still toys being made from the prequels. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can go to Toys R Us now and pick up a Jar Jar Binks figure for a bear for worse.
50 cents.
50 cents. But I think that they know that, like, oh, aliens are supposed to look alien. They're supposed to look like they're not just a ghost that we deposit into the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go back to the comics.
Can't wait. I want Avengers Star Wars.
I don't want that. I don't want any of that stuff.
You don't want the mix? You don't want the mix up?
No, I don't want any of that stuff.
If it's
very feasible. I think it very well happen, especially in the comics before the movies. I don't want that. I don't like the mashing of the universe. They have nothing to do with each other.
Bendis, Hickman, and Remender.
I want Swamp Thing involved.
Write it.
In charge of your in charge of your comic version of like all the time stuff. You never know, man. This might be a secret trick by the company under Disney to say, you know what, like, well, do me a favor. You guys do some weird time warping stuff in the Marvel universe where anything can happen, which is where we're at right now. And then at some point, we'll throw in Luke Skywalker.
I think if you're publishing Star Wars comics in Marvel, that there's no way they're not thinking about creating something that within that with Marvel. Like, did you see the team for Star Wars number one?
No.
Jason Aaron, John Cassidy. For the first team. This is the first team that's coming on.
Forget it, man.
They're throwing all their legends on that table.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Let's
talk about Axis. I think there's a lot to talk about with that book.
Go ahead.
You enjoyed it.
Love the tentacles.
With the skull.
It makes zero sense, but I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that there's always a different version of Onslaught kind of running around. It's like there's some with him with the horns, there's some with the tentacles, then there's like the alien creature Onslaught. Really awesome, really weird the way that the story is being told. It's being told in 3-issue arcs. This is wrapping up the first arc. which was like the end of a storyline where you have this big moment where you're fighting the big monster, the big bad guys.
Yep.
You've had the bad guys show up and be the heroes. Like, you got your big story in the first three issues. And then, so the whole crux of this whole thing is that while Iron Man's subconscious being controlled by Red Skull create these gigantic sentinels that are geared for heroes, for nullifying heroes. So obviously the obvious answer is Magneto to round up all the villains because they won't get nullified for whatever reason. Okay, I'm with you. I'm okay with it. I'm okay. I'm not happy with it completely.
Okay.
Whatever. But it all comes down to everyone's losing at this point, and it comes down to Doom and Scarlet Witch doing an inversion to somehow flip things. And it really hasn't been talked about.
Right.
It's like us as the meta readers, we knew what was going into this storyline. We knew where this is all leading up to, this weird inversion. But it's kind of like a weird plan that kind of comes out of left field, like, we're going to do this. And then Doom and Scarlet Witch disappear. And then everyone starts acting like an asshole to each other.
Right.
Which is very. So you didn't pick up Deadpool, right?
No.
Obviously. But I read Deadpool and said, like, it said, this is the right reading order. You should read the first few pages of Access. Then pick up the Deadpool stuff when you get the Deadpool stuff, and then come back to Access.
Okay.
Which I did. I did kind of do that. So the Deadpool stuff is like before and after. It's him, you know, with Iron Man, him being saying, okay, you're going to be the Avenger. And then him at the end where he's like, you know what? Like, I don't want to fight anymore. And him becoming like this Bruce character.
Yeah.
So that was the most obvious one where it was like, okay, there's been some drastic change. But it was so subtle and weirdo in Access, we were just like, this is the way you're wrapping up this story. Like, he took Red Skull's body, Captain America.
You can't have it, I'll take him.
Havoc just dropped his life.
Yeah.
You know, broke up with his woman, went back to the X-Men.
Rejoined his brother.
His brother's hanging out with old dudes. Nightcrawler's an asshole.
Yeah.
All this stuff. And it was like really, really, like, it was done in a very, very subtle way. And then you read Avengers, which takes place 8 months from now, and you see Captain America, and you're like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, this is
old Captain America.
Old Captain America in a position of power.
And the agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. suit.
Yeah. Being in a position of power that has obviously been altered, and the dude has Red Skull's body and Xavier's body, and Red Skull and Xavier's body, you know, hanging out in his helicarrier with the Archangel, obviously having some type of effect on him as well.
Right.
You know, it's your arch nemesis right here. I think he's slowly going to become turn into the Red Skull.
And do you think that's like an unresolved resolution from when he returned that first time after he got shot?
It could be. I mean, Remender loves that type of shit.
Yeah, because it makes sense that there's weird like non-closure with that whole thing, you know?
The connection between their minds and everything.
Right, yeah. Because that's not the first time that's happened, you know?
There's always been that weird connection between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even when he cloned Steve Rogers and was Steve Rogers.
Right.
Yeah. Which is like some of my favorite shit.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, like that's when he also had like the entire zip up green jumpsuit.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But yeah, so going forward, the storyline is going to be they're not so much good guys becoming bad guys. That's essentially what is going to happen, kind of. Sabretooth will be a good guy, and Mystique will be a good guy, all this stuff. But it's supposed to accentuate certain parts of their personalities,
right?
So, for instance, you know, Deadpool is going to become peace loving and all this stuff.
His capacity for good is increased. Or
did
whatever.
You pick up a Hobgoblin?
No.
Hobgoblin was really freaking great.
I kind of like, I looked at it. You have the digital, right?
Yeah.
Send that to me.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And plus the art was amazing on the book.
Okay.
Hobgoblin's, his storyline has been the main Spider-Man was that he sets up franchises for you. So if you want to be a B-level, C-level supervillain, you can do that. This was all about you becoming a superhero. He's transferred this business to like, now I'm going to turn you into a superhero. So you see a lot of like guys dressed up like Razorback and like weirdo, like the Wizard. Just of course the Wizard's there, and then you eventually become a Hobgoblin, and he just has his army of Hobgoblins running around with him, and he's like a good guy that's going to try and reestablish the brand of Hobgoblin. It's really interesting, but it also what you're doing with the 8 months later stuff in Avengers and New Avengers, you're seeing the impact of those personality traits switch at a really crucial moment where Captain America is going after Iron Man.
Yeah.
And the new Avengers.
Priority number one.
They're going after these dudes because they're assholes. They are legitimately assholes.
Yeah.
They're destroying planets and destroying Earth.
Which they tried to do it secretly. And plus, like, Captain America, Steve Rogers is hung up on the Mind Wife.
I would be too. You don't really sleep that off.
Yeah.
But now you get these extreme personalities where whatever, like Iron Man has left the Illuminati at this point, right? That's what they're kind of leading into. And become whatever psychopath he's becoming. And Captain America is becoming this totalitarian like monster who is hunting after his best friends.
He's almost Nick Fury.
Yeah, he's just at that breaking point.
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic. I think Deodato made I think it was Deodato who did the art, right? I think he made him a way jacked old man.
Yeah, he was
a really jacked old man because you see him in the Avengers books and he's like very short and like hunched over.
Well, it's the first time you saw him in the uniform, also.
Yeah,
because most times it's been him in like slacks and a button up,
right? Like an old man. Yeah. So it's going backwards. So this issue of Avengers was just like 7 months in the future.
No, it's still. I thought that's the way it was going to play out, but this is directly after Cho got captured.
Okay, all right. So, but the really cool thing I liked about that issue was in a nutshell, you have the remnants of the Illuminati trying to teleport and run around from place to place. Reed Richards, Beast, Smart Hulk,
Doc Green, and Beast.
Right, Doc Green was Smart Hulk.
Black Bolt. He's in the wind at this point.
Right. Captain Britain, Black Panther.
Right.
Right. Those are like your leftovers. Nobody knows where Tony Stark is. But they're mining his data, which is kind of interesting. So in this issue, they run across like hard light projections of Beast and Hulk playing chess with each other.
Which is cool because they were teasing that a little while ago when they first met when Hulk joined the Illuminati. They're like, Beast was like, maybe we have a little bit more in common. And Hulk's like, maybe we're going to be best friends now.
Yeah, which I really enjoy. I like that because you never saw that coming. It's kind of, you never thought of it.
Them being two schemers.
Right. Or like, just like, let's show everybody. I think that's the thing with McCoy and with Banner is that like, let's show everybody how friggin' smart we are.
Yeah.
And
like, especially with McCoy, which I think is so fascinating about him is that he's the heart. Like the man, he's the man of science. That always will do the right thing.
Right.
He's never goes too far in anything, but this whole experience of him joining Illuminati has been the worst thing for his conscience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he's doing stuff where he never thought he would do. He's like, oh, you know what? I'm in already. Now I gotta be the monster.
Yeah. And I also love how he's a gorilla.
Yeah.
Because
he was very gorilla in this.
That's the thing. Like when they did the third mutation, it was the cat.
Yeah.
It was Blue Fur, the cat. I really love the cat man. And then he went into like kind of like a weird like
Cro-Magnon.
Yeah. And I was like, that's really nothing special. But
I like that.
Deodato did the art.
No, it was Lionel. For which one?
No, you did Access. Deodato did Avengers. But with Deodato making him like a blue gorilla,
pretty good.
Love it.
Pretty good.
So then, like the hard light projections of them talking to each other and Captain America moving like the chess piece or whatever, and then him doing this big diatribe of, you're getting played, son, and Captain America freaking out.
Everyone leave the room.
It's so great. I think it's indicative of like where it's going to go, where like everybody's kind of a jerk now, and except for apparently Sue and Reed.
And that's what I think also amazing is that during this whole period, you have new Avengers who are the Illuminati who are world breakers at this point. The Cabal, who, whatever reason, they get involved with the UN, a lot of people behind the Cabal, which is awesome, with Terax being representative to talk to the UN.
Is it Terax the Enlightened?
Yeah, and also you have the most powerful Avengers team of all time. That has been, they made the Avengers world machine.
Right.
They have this incredible community of like young up-and-coming guys and then complete powerhouses like Hyperion and Thor, Starbrand, Nightmask, that are all going to have some type of weird impact. That is like, because I mean, look at Sunspot. Sunspot has secretly bought AIM.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, man. I feel like
I think the two of them are doing the best stuff, Remender and Hickman.
Yes, I agree with that. Do this. I say I haven't kept up with the sales in forever. Like, do the sales translate into like into these books as flagship books that should be bought? Because I still feel like whatever's happening in the Avengers stuff, as great as it is, I feel like not as many people are buying it as they should.
I don't think people
and jumping on it.
I don't think I think the right people are reading New Avengers, but I don't think that the mass populace is picking up New Avengers and saying, "Oh my god, this is like one of the most thought provoking versions of these heroes I've ever seen before."
Right.
I mean, that's I think New Avengers is my favorite type of book. Like, it does everything the right thing. Like, I love when they introduce the Illuminati and have this clandestine, holier than thou characters. Cause I love like the imperfect Reed and imperfect Xavier, like guys who have complete power, who are a little more gray when it comes to this type of stuff. This was the perfect culmination of these characters and showing, like, okay, we're going to raise the stakes. We're going to make you into world killers. See, like, we're going to take the idea of hero and push it that much to the future.
Right.
And all these characters are going to go into completely new areas. Like, they've done stuff with Black Panther, which you have never thought they would have done with Black Panther.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's at all translated to sales. I think Spidey, Avengers, and probably the X-Men stuff are the stuff that really does very well. I know Uncanny and All-Star X-Men do very well.
All-Star X-Men are amazing.
No, All-Star. Well, all new.
All-new X-Men. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Like, I can never gauge the Marvel sales because, like, they put out so many books where it's like they're like a lot of their books are good. Like, there's a lot of filler too. Like the other day at the store, I was joking around or like, hey, like you should buy more books. And I'm like, you know what? Like in my head, I was like, you know what? If DC put out better books, I'd be buying more books. You know what was the one DC book I picked up this week was Batman Manor.
That book was awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, that book was really, really good.
And Batman Eternal.
The stuff that I'm going to, this is, I've actually ended up picking up more at DC in the last month or two. I think there's improvements happening.
Yeah.
Batman Eternal I still enjoy for whatever reason. I don't think it's a very good book. I think Future's End has become a really awesome book. Earth 2 I think is an awesome book. I like Arkham Manor. Love the Batman stuff, obviously. And I'm reading all this Godhead shit that they put out with the New Gods versus the Green Lanterns. It's awesome.
Is it?
It is awesome. They've pooled all the best art talents that they have left over in DC into those books.
You got those on digital?
Oh yeah.
I dropped them. So I dropped Green Lantern.
You love New God stuff?
Oh, I love
New
God.
This is like this is them really like during like since the Wonder Woman stuff and even since the old 52 stuff. It's so awesome looking. Like what they've done with Highfather and like introduce a bunch of other weirdo New Gods characters. It's really, really awesome. Fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of source wall shit.
It's a tough sell, I feel, you know.
All this, I mean, DC in total is a complete tough sell, but supposedly we are coming to an end of it.
Oh, yeah?
Because the Band-Aid's coming where they're moving from New York to Burbank. They're doing two-part storylines, and DC's telling everybody to wrap up their shit.
Wrap it up. We're doing it.
And the last time they did that was before Flashpoint.
Yeah. So it would be cool if there was like a really good kind of crisis on the horizon.
Are. They are. It's called Blood Moon. The storyline that's been going on in the background, everything, at Future's End, the whole point of it is Brainiac has made his way into like the Bleed and is at the center of like all the realities. And he's going to pit all the realities against each other. So you're going to see Old 52 versus New 52. You're going to see Watchmen characters versus these people. You're going to see like the Wildstorm dudes do Wildstorm shit.
Sure.
But like that's where they're leading, like that's where they're going with this like crisis shit.
You painted a weird picture in my brain because as soon as you said that, I just immediately pictured Grifter and Maul just like shooting up the place.
Yeah, Grifter's been a part of the storyline for the whole story.
And he's like the one dude that made it, right?
Voodoo's in it too. Grifter and Voodoo are the two guys I've been a constant. Let me tell you real quick the September rankings for comics.
Let's
do it. From Diamond.
Go.
Number one, Death of Wolverine number one. Death of Wolverine number two.
Makes sense.
Number three is Batman's Future's End number one, the one shot. Number four is Harley Quinn's Future's End number one. This is purely orders again. Okay. Spidey number six. Number five was number five. Number six is Justice League's Future End. Seven is Original Sin number eight. Eight, this is so weird. Eight is Detective Comics Future's End. Nine is Justice League number 33, and 10 is Batman Superman Future's End.
That's freaking crazy that like you have what, like one Marvel book in the entire top 10 of orders placed?
Three, actually. Death of Wolverine has two books.
That's right, yeah.
Amazing Spidey and Original Sin.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, the Superior Spider-Man one-shot, the Walking Dead book. A lot of DC, man.
That's mind-blowing to me, especially because like I'll go to the store, and you know I'll usually go either in the morning or like early afternoon, and you know there's people there, it's busy, and you know it's like everybody just glazes over the DC stuff. Like I'll flip through a bunch of stuff and be like, ah, this doesn't grab me. Like I still like Deathstroke number one this week. I was like, ah, do I want to buy this?
I picked up
Lobo a couple of weeks ago, and I was like,
I totally skipped on that.
It's all right, you know. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, it's weird. I would never expect it to, well, I think that month is weird because there's so many number ones.
Yeah.
And regardless of whatever puts out, people will pick up a number one.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
And it's all one. Same thing with the Villains Month stuff that kept them afloat. And that's been DC's go-to for the last, like, every other month they'll do, like, we're going to do a bunch of one-shots and they'll sell well and that's it.
I want original numbering back.
I want all of it back.
Yeah.
I just want this not to be it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think once they get past this, the stigma is going to get lifted.
Yeah.
And you get more people like us trying to re-enter the fold. Because at this point, you don't even want to invest yourself in the continuity because it's just like, it's just putting band-aids on it. Because you know the only stuff that's going to be good in DC right now is the stuff that's ignoring the 52 shit or reverting back to the old stuff.
That's the thing. And you summed it up perfectly. Like, that's the thing where I'm like, I don't want to get invested into any of this stuff because I feel like deep down it's not going to mean anything in a year. You know, and I don't even think it's going to have any impact in the future. You know, maybe a couple of books, like, because, like, you can have Batman be Batman and still continue the same storyline, you know? But if they do, like, a big crisis thing, and I've said this since day one, man, like, you do, like, a big crisis and you have kind of, like, a zero-hour-esque finale where everybody kind of gets mashed together into, like, the best elements of pre-52 and post-52, you know? You get, like...
Use it.
You keep, honestly, like, Superman old costume, but you keep the fact that when he was Superboy, he was in jeans and a t-shirt. Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, really enjoy that. Batman stuff you can't change. Green Lantern, same thing. You can't change it. It's the same, like, it's in space, you know, it's the same universe.
And that's the way they succeeded. I mean, that was part of the mission statement of DC for a long time, especially through Johns, was try and make everything work. That's the way the Marvel universe has worked also.
Yeah.
Is that try and make the history work, try and make all this, like Hawkman. Try and make Hawkman's weirdo history work.
Mm-hmm.
Fill in the blanks. Be a writer with it.
That was like their best Hawkman was the relaunch with Palmiotti. No, with Johns and then
Palmiotti and Gray.
Right.
Yeah.
When they just kind of combined everything into like one, and they did it in a very smart way. And you can still do that. You know, it's comics. You can do whatever you want. But I think that's like the salvation of these characters is to say like one established universe. Jay Garrick is the Golden Age Flash. He existed, but somehow he's young again, you know, like in JSA.
Yeah.
And kind of do that and then do like the updating things where I think like Green Arrow should be kept young, you know, at this point, like I don't, like old Ollie with the goatee. Don't really need to see him come back, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Like
I hate
him,
you, man. There's no,
keep him.
Oh, get out of here.
It's a good update to the character. You know why?
No way.
Cause he's such a tough sell. I feel like for new audiences, cause like you keep Green Lantern young, you have young Hal Jordan also. Hal Jordan, like, he came back as a young dude.
That's fine. You know? But I think when you're starting to make the character into the TV version, you're failing the character's purpose. I think that goes away a long way for characters like that. The reason why Green Arrow became so fucking awesome again was because he went back to the roots of him. The Kevin Smith stuff was reestablishing him with the goatee and his history of being like a weirdo guy who's ripped off Batman all of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more we focus on Steve Amell being a really cool guy with abs, being Green Arrow gets away from what makes Green Arrow really cool.
But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like de-age the character a little bit.
But they did that already. I don't want that.
No,
I think that's what hurt the book now.
I think it just the relaunch hurt the book. I think it hurt the character too. There's like a few characters in there that got hurt by the relaunch.
But I think the reason why they relaunched him the way they relaunched him is because the show was already on the air.
Was it?
Yeah, they looked at Arrow and said, okay, we're not going to have him in a Robin Hood outfit. We're going to put him in a hood and paint it on green, just like the TV show. That was the sole reason why nobody cared about the Green Arrow book, because it was just synonymous with
the show.
It wasn't until what's his name? I think Lemire came on and brought back to it, back to basics. We're going to spend a lot of time on the island, just like we did with Green Arrow Year One with Jock.
Right. My whole thing is that like you update them. Keep them. Don't bring back the same canon for a lot of characters. Green Arrow is one of them. As much as I love Green Arrow, that's one of them. Where you don't want like the not doddering, but him, Hawkman, and there's another handful of characters like Superman. Right now, as dopey as that costume is, like I think it's age appropriate. It's a little vital. He's not like the giant, like square jawed, like close to 40-year-old dude. You know.
I think the more you get away from the source material and away from what makes that character, whether it be aesthetically or philosophically, I don't think that's a major problem. I think that the reason why Superman sucks for the most part is because we're getting away from the idea of this archetypal, big, tough guy, Superman.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't want, like, I think the biggest thing with characters and all, you can add so much layers to these characters, but the further you get away from the source material is you're creating a different animal. You're creating something that's, less, especially with something like iconic like these DC characters.
How about, what are your thoughts on Shazam? Would you go back to old Shazam, or would you keep like the kind of like the young runaway?
I mean, it's the same story. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's always been an underprivileged kid who could turn into Superman. I mean, Shazam is a character, like, either way it works. Like, Monster Society with Jeff Smith is an awesome version of Shazam. The Jeff Johns version of it is not that far away from the original. Like, it's still the talking tiger. There's still Black Adam. There's still a wizard. Like, you know, and I don't think we're personally as invested in the amount of variety of Shazam stories. You've read one Shazam story for the most part all of your life. You've read a multitude of Green Arrow and Superman stories.
Yeah.
Your life.
My big take on it, and this is like from a fan's perspective and also just like going forward within like the DC structure, is one of my favorite periods of DC was when Grant Morrison took over Justice League and said, look, we went too far away from what we're supposed to be. We're bringing back like the Big Seven, and then we're going to expand from there. And those the book was phenomenal.
For the Pantheon.
Right. You know, and like, if you go back to that structure, that's great. Martian Manhunter is a great example of, like, you know what? Some of the stuff that they did with him post relaunch is very iffy, but some of the stuff they did with him also, just like kind of making him a little colder, that worked.
Yeah.
You know, combine both of them, you know, do like cool new redesigns, give him different stories. I feel like they should forget about most of the Wildstorm stuff.
Yes. And, I mean, that's always a hindrance.
And do like, and like use the good ideas, like, do a Stormwatch, but your Stormwatch is almost like a cosmic Suicide Squad, you know, something like that, where you just have like these big stories, throw the Ray on there, you know,
or just stay away from it. I mean, because it obviously doesn't translate into sales. Mm. Like, Stormwatch has never translated to sales. Like, it was popular when Warren Ellis was doing it
after the fact,
but it was never a big seller.
Yeah.
You know, like, I got to Stormwatch way after it was Hugh Reddy did all the awesome shit with it.
Is it like, with the Wildstorm stuff, like, especially, is it still coasting off the popularity from the 90s?
I don't think there's anyone who wants Wildstorm aside from DC and Jim Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think there's anything where I'm like, oh my God, like, I wish they really went back to the basics with Wildstorm when it was really great. It was never that. Like, the reason why Wildstorm is even relevant at this time is because you had new people come in and doing interesting takes on them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, or like what Alan Moore did with the Youngblood stuff.
Yeah.
Because it was a parody of how ridiculous it was.
Right.
Same thing with, like, you know, Wildcats 3.0 on the basis, you had a sci-fi story that was superhero. Like, aliens, you have robots, you have all this stuff, and it didn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. They brought it back to the idea of, like, let's make this the most sci-fi forward-thinking book out there. And it was fantastic. It didn't translate to sales.
Right. But see, that's the thing, man. Like, I I'm not a guy who's in charge, but I think as like, if you have like fans at the table and people who just like study this stuff and say like, look, this era of Wildcats did not translate to sales, but this is the stuff that could translate well in a DC universe. Spartan, he's another Lex Luthor, you know, like all that kind of thing, which would work perfectly on paper instead of having Grifter show up and just bang, bang, bang.
But
you know?
That's what I think the way that they look at it is they like, okay, aesthetically, Grifter looks awesome. Like, he looks awesome. Like, he's got a floppy mask, got a trench coat on.
One dimensional.
He's got guns. Exactly. Yeah. They think they feel the aesthetics will get it by for so long. In the Future Zents thing, he's in almost every single issue, and he has no mask on. Like, you're taking away Voodoo. There's no one aside from Jim Lee who's saying we need more Voodoo.
Yeah.
Voodoo was one of the launch books on 452.
And it wasn't terrible.
It was terrible. It was.
I stuck with it till issue 3 and then was like, this is stupid.
But there's no investment in that character.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing something so drastically different and like more on these characters, or having Shaft give Ballastone a blowjob in a jacuzzi.
Right.
Like, there's nothing I want in these characters. I don't think there's a fervent group. Maybe for Gen 13.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for Deathblow. Like, there's still like fandom that's like, oh, that'd be really cool to see it. Aside from that, I don't think there's anyone really clamoring or ever clamored for
give me more Wildstorm.
Wildcats or like Wildcats or Grifter.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It makes zero sense.
But it's when you have your chief guys who this is their babies that they're gonna try and make this work. They've been trying to make Daemonites work at DC forever.
Not gonna happen.
The Bleed's still around though.
Yeah. That's the best, one of the best concepts, and I think that was a Warren Ellis concept.
Well,
right?
Wildstorm had the greatest thing, the best thing they ever did was the Authority.
Yeah.
Which was making fun of the Wildstorm universe.
Right.
And then maturing it.
and also like kind of doing like a weirdo JLA, you know, which was awesome.
It's fantastic.
You know? If it was any other, I feel like if it was any other indie universe, like you'd be more excited. Like if it was top 10, if it was like, if you brought over Tom Strong, Promethea, and the top 10 Precinct, awesome. You know, phenomenal. Throw those guys into the DC. I think they would transition very well into the DC
universe.
Especially
Tom Strong.
Right. And even if you brought over like Leaving Extraordinary Gentlemen, throw it in there, you know, in a weird way. On your Vertigo, John Constantine kind of level.
I wouldn't mind Vertigo publishing them or something.
Swamp Thing, you know, something like that.
Swamp Thing's a tough sell, man,
but
anybody.
It's true. And I think he's also like tough to write.
He's a very tough character to write. I think Alan Moore kind of broke the mold and did all the stories that you really could do with him. He really did everything
with a green man.
Yeah. From the space, man. Like there's like that that run is a testament to the theory that there is, you can write a good story about anybody.
Yeah. Even Swamp Thing.
Even Swamp Thing. And Swamp Thing was aesthetics. There was nothing more to the character. He looked awesome when Bernie Wrightson drew him.
Yep.
But that was it. He was a Swamp Man.
Yeah.
And then they made him into a freaking god and had him fight like Luthor and Batman.
Yep. Fucking awesome. Pretty crazy. Yeah. All right, man. Let's wrap it up. This has been another episode of Behind the Counter. We'll be back soon. I'm Rich.
Goodbye.
Peace out.